watched. Amelia has set the example today. She has listened to me more than some of you listen to me, so you have to follow suit. Amen? All right. If you will, stand with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth. I'm sorry, the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Esther chapter 4, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Esther chapter 4. Esther, now, if you went to Ephesians, you've gone way too far to the right. You need to pull back. And it's okay to use your little guide in the front of your Bible to tell you what page number that's on. So go ahead and use it if you have to. But when I hear the pages finish rustling, I will know that you are where you need to be. Amen. Esther chapter 4. I want you to think on just a very simple thought today. I want you to think on, this is my time. This is my time. And so Esther chapter 4, verse 14, again, this is so familiar to you, particularly this last phrase, but here is what Mordecai begins to speak to Esther. Verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom." Here's what I want you to catch. "For such a time as this." This is my time. You may be seated. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. I know that that little phrase, "this is for such a time as this," I realize that it is printed on t-shirts. I realize that you'll find it on coffee mugs. I realize that you will see little posts about it on various forms of social media or the internet. I realize you'll find it in prints and paintings to be placed on the wall, "for such a time as this." What does that really mean, though? And I want to speak today to, well, I'm speaking to the church, but particularly, let's just say, 25 and under today. I'm speaking to our youth that's in the church. And so what does that really mean, "for such a time as this"? And so without bogging you down of the story of Esther, because I don't want to take away from the truth that we find in the story, go home sometime and read the book of Esther, or get a commentary on it, study it. It's a fascinating book that we find in God's word. But rather than bogging you with the storyline, let me just explain what has taken place. So Mordecai is wanting Esther to go speak to the king. Well, in this time and era, it was a crime, a high crime, for any woman to approach the king. In fact, it was quite possibly punishable by death. And he's wanting her to go speak to the king, and she does not want to do that because she knows it's punishable by death. And so he lets her know, "Listen, if you don't do this, then God's going to raise somebody else up to do it in your place. He's going to bless them, and he's going to enlarge them, and he's going to reward them, and they're going to receive the goodness of the Lord if you don't. And if you don't do it and they get the blessing, then understand this, that you are going to miss out on something God had intended for you to be called to do." And so he asked her, he says, "How do you know that you are not called for such a time as this?" And so that's the thought today, is this is my time. And if you're 25 and under, then you need to write that down at the top of your page in the Bible, or write it down on your notepad, because you need to see this again with your eyes. Not only do you need to hear it with your ears today, but you need to see it. And if you're 99 and you're here today, you need to write this down. But particularly 25 and under today, write that down. This is my time. I remember when I was high school, when I got up my teenage years, I become rather misguided, I guess you might say. I guess maybe a typical teenage boy. I had lost my way and really didn't care about much but about living life. And one day, and I honestly to this day, I don't remember what I did, but I know I did something in school I wasn't supposed to do. And I remember Colonel Brooks, he was a retired he flew F-4 fighters in Vietnam, A-7s and then F-4s in Vietnam. So he's a retired fighter pilot. And then he flew F-15s in his later years in the military. And so everyone called him Colonel. And he was a football coach, and he was a shorter guy, but boy, he was like a bulldog. And I remember he jerked me into the office one day, and he said, David, he said, what are you high on? And just being stupid and young and all that, I said, Colonel, I'm not high on nothing. I'm just high on life. And he looked at me, and that didn't amuse him as much as it amused me, but I thought it was kind of funny at the moment. And he looked at me, and he said, listen to me. He said, you better listen, and you better listen good. He said, you've got the rest of your life in front of you. And he said, the rest of your life depends on what you do now. He said, so you better get it squared away and make it right now, because what happens now is going to determine where you wind up in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or 30 years down the road. I'll never forget seeing him one day. He and his wife, they walked all around Waynesville every evening, every afternoon. They were walkers. And you would see them walking around the downtown area. And I remember coming by when I was on the job in law enforcement. I pulled up beside him one day in my patrol car, and I just spoke to him out the window. And he leaned in, and he just began talking. We began catching up and so forth. And actually, we began making a plan to make this long hike. But he looked at me, and he said, do you remember that day I jerked you into the office? And I said, yes, Colonel, I sure do. And he said, well, that was your day, and that was your time. And he said, I'm sure glad that you did something on that day. And I said, Colonel, thank you for reminding me and for teaching me and for leading me that what I do today affects my tomorrows, particularly when I was in 11th or 12th grade. And so that's what I want each of our young people to know here today, is that this is your time. Now, I've preached over and over, and I don't have to go there nor repeat it today. I have preached over and over about the truth that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And that's what Mordecai was saying to Esther here. God's called you to do something. God's got a plan for you. And if you don't do it, somebody else will get the blessing. Somebody else will get the favor. But God has called you for such a purpose. And I want you to understand, all of our young people to understand this, that God's got a calling upon your life. He does have a purpose for you. But I also want you to know that you don't get there by accident, that you don't do whatever you want to do, that you don't live however you want to live, that you don't go just wherever you want to go, and expect God to bless you with His plan and His purpose for your life. No, you got to get in God's path, to walk in His way, to be able to receive what God has purposed for you to experience in life. Are you with me? Say amen. I speak to our young folks because here's the purpose of that. Because as I've mentioned before, Jesus had a heart. Well, actually, when we read the whole Bible, when we see fascinating stories about people in the Bible that God used greatly, we see that God used them when they were in their youth. That is when they received their calling. And so it is with the disciples. As I've told you before, the disciples were not, as we see depicted in paintings, they were not those crusty old sea fishermen with skin wrinkled like shoe leather because they've been on the seas and with beards and out there fishing. That's not who the disciples were. The Lord called the disciples when they were young, and they were but teenage boys more than likely, as you read about them in God's Word. And it was later in life that some of them penned the books that you read and hold in your hand from the New Testament. And so God has this thing for youth. He wants to use young people today, right now. Today is your time. And see, here's the thing. God may not unveil His plan and His purpose and His calling for you right now, today. God may not, He may not bring that great blessing into your life, or as the Bible calls it here, enlargement. In other words, bringing you into a big place. God may not do that today. But the one thing for sure God will do today is this, is He will confirm in you and reaffirm in you that He has something in store for you, and He will call you this day to make a commitment in your life that this is what I choose. I don't choose my way. I don't choose what I want. I don't choose what somebody else has chosen for me. But God, I choose you today, and I'll follow you until you bring me in to that place of blessing that you have reserved just for me. I don't want to miss it. Now, listen, I want you to understand something. When I grew up, I don't ever remember as a kid hearing preachers preach this. I don't. I thank God in recent years there's a lot of youth-focused stuff. I'm thankful for that. But I grew up in a very traditional Baptist church, and it was Bible preaching every day, but there was no emphasis on God's call upon the young people. So young people, I want you to listen to me. This is your time today. Some people say, well, you know, young people, they are the church of tomorrow. No. No, they are the church of today. Do you understand that? They are the church of today. So if God, if this is your time, not next month, next year, 10 years, but today determines next month, next year, or 10 years, then what are some things you need to know going in to this journey with Jesus? Well, I would first just want to say as introduction that number one, that you need to be sure that you have given your life to Jesus Christ in salvation. Be sure you've trusted in him. Be sure that you know in your mind that there's a place and a time where you have put your faith in Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't save ourselves. So God loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and arose on that third day, that whosoever cometh to him and believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So be sure today, above all else, that you have given your heart and your life to Jesus, that you know that somewhere, sometime, you bowed your head and said, God, please forgive me of my sins. Please save my soul, Jesus, and that God has done that. So I'm asking you right now, do you know that you know that you know that if you die today, you'll spend eternity in heaven with him? Where will you go if you die today? So give your life to Jesus. And so that's certainly the starting place of our journey. But so what do I need to share with you about knowing that today is your day, that this is your time? Well, there's some things you need to be aware of along this journey. Number one, you need to be aware and guard yourself in relationships that you have. In relationships that you have. And I'm going to say this, and I've probably said it before, but I'm just going to be straight blunt, and I won't stop spend a lot of time there. And it's been said 100 different ways, but I promise you this, if you lay down with dirt, you're going to get dirty. You understand that? If you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Whatever, however way mom and daddy's worded to you, you need to understand that. You need to understand that it may be your mindset and it may be your purpose to keep yourself pure and reserved for God, and to want to serve him and to want to walk with him. But if you get around the wrong people, I'm going to tell you how this thing's going to go. It won't go the way you think it's going to go. And see, there's this devilish lie out there that says, well, maybe I can influence them. Write this down. That is a lie from the very pits of hell, if I've ever heard a lie from the pits of hell, because more times than not, what happens is the bad influences the good. Now, somebody say amen right there. Amen. And how do you know that? Well, because I know from what the Bible teaches us about separation. I know from personal experience. We can't base truth on experience, but we can base truth on God's word. And the Bible teaches us about separation. And I can tell you from my personal experience, though, that bad influences the good. I used to be a pretty good kid as far as teenage boys go, but I got around some wrong guys. I got around some wrong environments. I got around some wrong people. And guess what? The good did not influence the bad. The bad influenced the good. And then guess what I become? I become that bad influence in the lives of other good kids. And they did not influence me, but instead I influenced them to the bad. Are you with me? Say amen. Now, I'm just being honest and raw with you right here. And young people, you need to understand that I love you, I care about you. I'm not some Bible-thumping preacher who's got my family Bible up here and running around going to beat you in the head with it. But I'm telling you from the path I've walked, I'm warning you today, I'm encouraging you today. I pray that I am breathing hope and favor and goodness into you today and trying to get you to take a path that is a narrow path, the Bible teaches us, that many don't travel on. But it's the path to God's favor, and God's blessings, and God's goodness in your life. Because today, I believe, this is your time. So you need to be aware of relationships. You need to examine any relationships in your life. And you need to realize and you need to understand that anything that distracts you, anything that takes away from you receiving God's favor and goodness and blessing, then you need to get away from that relationship, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, or just peer friends that you have. Because peer pressure is very real. And I think it's the dumbest thing for adults to preach about peer pressure and preach about peer pressure and preach about peer pressure when peer pressure goes into adulthood in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Mom and dad are as bad to give in to peer pressure as teenagers are. So peer pressure is real for all of us. An interesting little study was done one time where a teacher passed out little ballots. And on the board, and I can't remember all the minute details, but on the screen behind the teacher, he flashed a blue dot. He flashed a blue dot. And he asked the students, write down what dot you saw, and then I'm going to have you stand up one by one and begin telling us what the dot was you saw. Well, several of the students had been planted by the teacher. And so they stood up and they said, it was red, it was red, it was red. And before long, every student in that classroom stood up and said the blue dot was red. Why? Because others before them had led them down that path. Knowing it was a blue dot, peer pressure influenced them to actually say it was a red dot that had been flashed on that screen behind that professor. That's the power of peer influence. And so you need to understand that relationships will sidetrack you. Relationships will derail you from entering into the very purpose that you have been called to do. Relationships. And so one of the other things you need to be aware of, if you are interested in believing that this is your time, you need to be aware of temptation. You need to be aware of temptation. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Now, there's all kinds of temptation out there. I get it. I get it. We can talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll, all that stuff, drinking, and I understand that's preached and preached and preached in new circles. I get it. Yes, all of those things, they should not be a part of your life in any way. Did you know that 1 out of 10 people that try alcohol for the first time become an alcoholic? 1 out of 10 people that try alcohol for the first time become an alcoholic. So is that really worth the gamble? If I told you 10 airplanes were sitting on a runway, but one of those 10 are going to for sure crash and have engine failure, would you go get on any one of those 10 aircraft? You probably wouldn't. That's just really not good odds. So we could really preach about that. We could preach about that as far as temptation goes, and we could ride that train, and we could go down that path. And yes, there's evil in those things. But I want to tell you one of the greatest temptations I believe. One of the greatest temptations I believe for young people is this, is to pursue your dreams, is to pursue your path, is to allow yourself and your life self-indulgent. Whatever makes you happy, then you do it. But I want to tell you something, that's not the Bible way. God's way is this, seek me first. is what he says. Follow my paths. Stay in my will. Let my book be your guide. And don't be selfish in your life, but be selfless in your life and put Christ first, and everything else in your life, let it follow. And see, it's not your dreams that'll get you where God wants you to be, but it's the dreams that God has for you. Be sure the dreams you have for yourself are God-given dreams, not just your wants, your eagerness, your ambition, but be sure that it's what God has given you. And if you know God has given you those dreams, then don't let anything distract you or sidetrack you and get you out of God's path. Are you with me? Say amen. Well, I've been in youth conferences all over where there's been hundreds of youth. We've ran youth conferences where there were hundreds of youth. And listen to me, I believe there has been some well-intentioned kids in some of these youth meetings that have made their way to an altar after a sermon, a youth-oriented sermon, committed themselves to Christ, and left there with good intention and good purpose in their heart. And then somewhere along the way, they allowed the temptation of seeking and pursuing their wants over the wants of God in their life. And they've missed thus far what God had in store for them. And I want to tell you one of the sad things I believe would be a difficult place to live in life in your later years is to find yourself living a good life knowing that you missed the best life that God had intended for you. You understand that? I think there's a lot of people satisfied with just having a good life and living a life of mediocrity, when all along what God had planned for you was greatness in his eyes. Not in the eyes of the world, but greatness in his eyes. God had a great plan. He had the best plan for you. But you become satisfied with simply good. And God doesn't want what's good for you. You heard me say that. God's got big plans for you, big dreams. God plans to favor you in your lifetime. And so there's temptations along the way. And one of those temptations is to just kind of go with the flow and just kind of be satisfied with a life of mediocrity. And friends, listen to me. You need to get away from those temptations, and you need to get so focused on what Jesus has got planned for your life. Listen, get so focused on God's calling for your life that anything that distracts you from that or takes away from that, you need to get rid of it, push it to the side, and just move on with the things that get you where God wants you to be. You hear? Amen? All right, so there's temptation. There's salvation. You need to be saved. And probably today, truth be known, statistically speaking, there's someone here under 25 today that's never given their life to Jesus Christ. And it's okay. It's okay, because everyone here that's saved today was lost at some point in time. And most of these people that are sitting here that are saved today that was lost at one point in time, they gave their life to Jesus in a Sunday morning service or in a revival service somewhere where they come down and walked the aisle and got in the altar and got saved. So it's okay if you're here lost today. You can be saved today. Salvation is first. Next, you need to be aware of temptation. And also, number three, you need to be aware of obstacles. If you believe this is your time, you need to be aware of obstacles. Are you with me? All right. There's obstacles along the way. What are some of those obstacles? I'm just going to tell you. Some of them are heartbreak. Some of you already at the age of 15 or 18 or 20 or maybe even 10 this morning. Unfortunately, you already know about heartbreak. You know what it's like already to have your heart hurt so bad that you can't stand it. That you have to have a personality that is joking and laughing and cutting up all the time just to cover up the pain that's really inside of you. You didn't choose to be born to the mother that you wound up with, or you didn't choose to be born with the dad that you wound up with. You didn't choose those things. I think I hit on that maybe last week. But you know heartache at even a young age. Your heart hurts at times. I pray that's not the case. I pray we just have young people here that's blessed and spoiled rotten and just know nothing but good days all of your life. But if I know and I remember what it's like being a kid and the obstacles in your lives and the struggles that you have, then there's more than one under 25 person here today who has laid down in your bed at night when the door is closed to your bedroom and the light has went off, and you have laid there and you have cried. And you have cried. Because you're going through some obstacles. You've got burdens and you've got heartaches. And so I'm telling you right now, listen to me. God has a plan for you, yes. God's got a purpose for you, check. God's got this great favor and grace he wants to bestow upon you in your lifetime, check. But that does not mean that you won't have to travel first a road of obstacles. There'll be brokenness. The devil's going to try to detour you. He's going to try to lead you astray. He's going to try to get you away from what God is intending for you to do. And so you need to mark it down and you need to know now that, hey, listen, life will not be easy. Are you with me? Life's tough. It's hard. But you need to know now that it's going to be hard. And you need to know now that there's going to be difficult times. And you need to know now there's going to be times you're going to cry at nighttime. But you also need to know that there's a God in heaven who's promised you that weeping will endure for the night, but joy shall come in the morning. And you need to know there's a God in heaven that loves you so much, he'll never leave you in those difficult places alone. That he's promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. So when you do feel all alone, because that's another lie of hell itself, the devil wants you to believe that you're alone and nobody knows how you feel. Nobody understands where you're at. Nobody knows what you're going through. But I assure you of this, if there's a God in heaven alive today, and there is, he knows where you're at. He knows the hairs on your head and he knows every tear that falls from your face. Amen. Are you with me today? Don't make me feel like I'm preaching alone this morning. So there's obstacles. Life's hard. God's still got a plan for you. And God's got a purpose for you. And God's got a calling for you. Elizabeth, you can come to the piano. And what I need you to know is this. This today is your time. But I need you to know something. If you've not caught everything that I've said from the beginning, then you need to know this. You can miss it. You can miss it. I pray that beside that little note in your Bible where you have written, "This is my time," I pray you will write today's date and you'll put the hour of this service, 10 to 11. And you'll look on that often and you'll know in your heart that this is the day when God give me opportunity. God give me blessing by letting me come and letting me hear this. I've just shot straight this morning. Nothing eloquent about it. No 3 points in a poem. Nothing like that. I didn't break out at singing in the middle of the sermon. It's evidenced by the fact nobody's run out of the church yet. I just give it to you straight today. Because I love you, young people. But listen to me. You can miss it. You can miss it. You can walk away from here and not give your life to Jesus. You'll miss it. You can face temptation. Yeah, the majors, all those big things, sex, drugs, rock and roll, all that. I'm talking about the temptations of just following your own path, going down your own road, choosing everything in life just for you. rather than following God, choosing Him. I'm speaking to you out of my heart today. You could miss it by letting obstacles detour you. Bumps in the road, heartbreaks, bad days, difficult times. Listen, everybody around you is good at faking it. Everybody around you is good at faking it. They'll fake it to you on the church steps. They'll fake it to you from the church pew. They'll fake it to you from a microphone behind a pulpit or a microphone stand or an instrument. They'll fake it to you in the office. They'll fake it to you in the school. They'll fake it to you on the athletic field. They'll act like everything's good and everything's fine and life is wonderful and I'm doing nothing but having one big party, but you're not with them in the midnight hour. When inside of them there is a cry that is so deep in agony, you can't even hear it. And so you could let obstacles detour you, but you got to know there's a God who will never leave you or forsake you. He carries you. He's with you. He loves you. And He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He says, hey, you've been called for this time. And I believe what you do today in this time, is going to determine whether you walk in God's favor and in God's blessing. And I love that word enlargement, because we find it again in the Old Testament over and over where God promises He's going to enlarge His people. There's a prayer in the Bible, prayer of Jabez, where Jabez prays for enlargement. What is that? That's God's best for your life. That's what it literally means. God wants to bring you heaven's good stuff, heaven's best. So understand it today. This is your time. So I'm about to ask everybody 25 and under that if God has spoke to you today to come to this altar, to claim that verse that I have been born for such a time as this, that this is my time. And I'm not going to get detoured. I'm not going to get distracted. And I'm not going to get delayed. But I want it. I want God's plan for me. But before I do that, I'm going to ask some adults to do something today, because I think our young people need to see this. And you don't have to do it. Certainly not. But as I prayed about this morning, I feel like it's pivotal for our young people to see. I wonder if there's any older people. I'm 50. Maybe you're 40. Maybe you're 30. I don't know, maybe you're 70. But if I wonder if there's anybody here that's older, who's lived life, who, if I could let you have a microphone, and I'm not bringing a microphone to anybody, I'm not asking anybody to say, I don't want anybody to say anything. But I wonder if there's anybody here that would say, if I could go back to being a 14-year-old boy sitting on a church pew, I'd do a lot of things different in my life. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or boy and girl who would just, not boy or girl, if there's an older man or woman who would, just so our young people could see, would stand and be so honest, just by standing real quick, and I'll let you sit down, but just stand, and by standing, you're admitting, I wished I could go back and do some things over. I wished I could go back and change some things. I wish I could be a 12-year-old in Liberty Baptist Church on this Sunday morning with life ahead of me, because I have some regrets. Young people, you need to look around, because this is the kind of honesty that you're seeing from some people who love you. That if they could be where you're, that they'd give anything to be where you're at. They would give anything to have the opportunity that you have in front of you. Look around. Look around. Moms and dads, you may be seated. Men and women, be seated. All over this church, some older folks stood in humble confession. And boy, if I could do it over, I'd sure do a lot different. And so this is your time. What you do right now can influence your destiny in the rest of your life. So 25 and under, I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now. At 25 and under, I'm going to ask you to come right now and make your way to this altar and claim this day as your day. This day.